the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a fireball in my mouth this morning. That's probably not a good sign for most of you if I had to put a fireball in my mouth to get me going here this morning. Just sucking on that thing a little bit. But I welcome in Flea Flicker Friday. I got something coming up here that's going to be kind of unique. Clay wants to give a little bit of a testimony. And it's been on his heart for about a week, at least a week to be able to do it. So I'm going to give him a chance to do that here in a second. Do I need to go through the... It takes up so much time. I got a busy weekend to go through the calendar. It takes up so much time, okay? Randy's having an event. Mike Blake's having an event here in Ohio. We're going to do a honk and wave in Pataskala this weekend. Ray LeBlanc's got a video Zoom meeting going on Saturday. Russ Dizdar's date's been changed to April the 24th. Busy weekend. A lot of stuff going on. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. All the information is there under the calendar. And we would encourage more of you to get actively involved. Because, Myra, your hand's up already, sweetheart. Did you want to say something already?
Yes. Good morning, Saints.
Good morning.
This message is for my brother, Parker. In regard to your mom and your relative that took the second shot, I'll keep you my prayers. And I also thank you for the mail I received. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Myra. Listen, folks, I have quit trying. I become more relaxed when I quit trying to have to be right all the time. I am right. I don't have to try to be. I am right. It's just brought peace to me. I don't argue with people. I wrote a commentary. Joe read it yesterday. The commentary I wrote about the rotten fruit of friendship evangelism. And of course, as always happens, I get some pushback and some emails back. I cannot, folks, I would just like for somebody to sit me down and walk me through the Bible, the gospel, and show me where the love everybody gospel is prevalent. Is John Diamond, could you do that? Is there somebody out there more learned than me that could show me that? Because listen, I'm going to tell you, everything in life has to do with your perspective. I don't care what it is. You know, your attitude, the old idea that your attitude dictates your altitude and all those catchy phrases. But really, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. And if you have a perspective that, as I wrote yesterday, that Almighty God is just Mr. Rogers with a white beard sitting in a rocking chair, if that's the way that's your view of God, it's going to impact everything you do in your life, right? If your view of God is a righteous Savior returning on a white horse and in righteousness he's going to judge and make war, that's going to impact the way you live your life, I think, right? And so for the life of me, I was doing some research this morning. I'll show you. Hey, Spencer, play the fake gospel. Play the fake gospel. Because I found this little video the other day, and somebody tell me if this is the gospel that's being preached in many of your churches. Go ahead and play this, Spencer. It's called the Good-O-Meter.
Next. File, please. Some lying. Some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way.
Hey,
next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things, too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
See, that's good. That's true, and that's accurate, and that's funny, and that's lighthearted, but that misses the point as well. Folks, listen. Faith without works is dead, right? It's dead. Faith without works. You know, the Bible says that we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account for every idle word we spoke. You guys believe that? It says that in the Bible. Every idle word. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, are you kidding me? He's actually recording that? Hey, Mark Trump, what if there's an electronic connection and there really is a computer up there somewhere that's recording everything I do? What? Wow.
Yeah, that's like the debt clock.
Yeah, like the debt clock.
God has our sin clock, and he knows everything, every category of sin and how many times. You ain't got to worry about counting up. Don't worry about that. He's got it.
But then that's when grace applies, right? So does am I going to count on grace? But folks, this stuff just gets all over me, and I can't get rid of it, okay? These are serious, serious questions. If I go about and I preach the love gospel, or how about this? Are y'all looking at me? Y'all looking at me? There ain't none of you. Jeff Nell, Myra, Joe, and none of you that can get anybody saved. Ain't none of you. You can go preach till your tongue falls out, and without the Holy Spirit drawing them, you will not get them saved. You're not going to do it. And the Bible says that he who wins souls is wise, and I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. The discussion maybe we're going to have someday is winning souls the end-all, and-all of Christianity? Is that really what it's about? Because if that's really what it's about, then why aren't you out full-time winning souls? And if you're out winning souls, I'm not going to put Jeff Nell on the spot, but Jeff, if you were to be gut honest with all the time and effort and energy that you're out preaching the gospel, how many are getting saved? How many are getting saved? And I would say, or you would say probably, well, coach, not very many. Not very many. Now, why aren't they getting saved? Is it because we don't understand the gospel? We don't understand, dare I say it, the gospel of the kingdom? Do we not understand that when we get born again into the family of God, we are now already completely attached to this spiritual kingdom, this kingdom that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do we not understand that that kingdom relationship is really what Jesus is all about? And the building of relationships within the kingdom, bringing others into the kingdom, not just getting them saved. I know people who are saved who don't have any idea what it means to be a Christian. What do I do with it now? What do I do with it now? Well, I know what I do. I sit around and I criticize people because they say bad words and they don't act very Christ-like. And right? We sit around because we don't have any idea what it's all about. It's a kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And if you're in the kingdom of God, what are you doing? What is your role in the kingdom of God? What are you supposed to be doing? And if we are advancing the kingdom of God, if our goal is to advance the kingdom of God, then why is the kingdom of God seemingly so non-existent in the world today? Can somebody explain that to me? And why have we so Americanized the gospel to think that Jesus himself must certainly be an American and probably a Republican, truth be told. He's probably a MAGA. Jesus is probably a MAGA guy. And we sit around, we think it's persecution when somebody sends you a bad email. We think that's persecution. Your friends say something bad about you. Hell, there's, pardon me, there I go again. There are people across the ocean that are trying to stay alive for the gospel, just trying to stay alive. And we have this Americanized gospel, and we think that God is being glorified by our rolling over and letting the enemy tromp all over us. That somehow Christ is glorified with your piety as you sit around holier than thou, allowing them to teach homosexuality to children, to make Mr. Potato Head non-whatever. You guys saw that, didn't you? Mr. Potato Head is now just Potato Head. Can't have a gender in there anymore. Can't be Mr. Potato Head. And we see all this foolishness going on. It's almost like, I wonder if the demons don't get together, if they don't get together with their little Beelzebub, and they sit around and they scheme up crazy things. And I bet they're making bets, side bets, and saying, listen, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to tell them, hey, I'm going to tell them that a man can be a woman. And they start laughing. They high five. Oh, you can't pull that off. Ain't no way. Oh, yeah, you watch me. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to get them to say that the world's greatest athlete, Bruce Jenner, is a woman. You watch me, and I'm going to do it. And they're betting, oh, no, you can't pull that off. You can't pull that off. Right? No way you can do that. And then they do it. And the Mr. Potato Head's Miss Potato Head, right? And then we saw yesterday that we have a transgender, dare I say it, a very, very sick person who's now being put in second in command in the Health and Human Services, a man acting like a woman, and we sit around and act as if it's real, rather than calling somebody with a straight jacket. Somebody say amen, so you know, so that I know that I'm talking to the right crew. And we
amen.
Amen.
When Jesus said we were the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we let this kind of stuff go on around us as if we are absolutely powerless to do anything about it. It's those demons. They're hot. They're laughing, high-fiving. Says, hey, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I can just see them up there. Hey, listen, we're going to tell them. We're going to tell them there's this virus and everybody's got to put a mask on. And we'll get them to all put a mask on. Then we're going to tell them they have to stay 6 feet away from each other. And hey, we'll shut down football. No, dude, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, I'll bet you $100 I can pull them. No, you can't. They walk in the church and everybody in the church is wearing masks. Why? Because we don't understand the idea of advancing the kingdom of God. See, Jesus Christ is right now, currently, king over all the world. Right now, friends. He's not going to become king. He's not going to return and get crowned. He's coming back as king. He is currently ruling and reigning, and we are his ambassadors. We are his children. We are his placeholders. And because we have taken the gospel and we've turned it to love only, look at the mess that we're in. And I don't care.
Amen.
I could go on and on and on and on and on, and my email box will still blow up with people saying, Coach, we just have to love them. Well, you know, the Bible does say that, but I don't think the Bible anywhere says that we just love them. We're supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, right? Because the day will come when they will not, when they're not going to put up with sound doctrine. Some of them we got to rescue by pulling them out of the fire. Why is that not a part of our Christian teaching today? And why am I such a freak? Because I keep asking that question. Bible says you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for everything you did. And dare I say it, probably everything you didn't do. We're all going to. And yes, we understand grace. Well, yes, we understand. But isn't it going to be awful if you get up into heaven and the Lord takes, I don't know, they say he has it on a Rolodex or maybe a thumb drive your whole life and he plays a video. I don't know if it's like that or not. But let's say he does play that before you. And you look at one segment of your life where you saw that they brought transgenderism into the public schools. And you live just 2 miles from the school. You just live 2 miles from the school. And so you'll see in that clip there, it's going to be, boy, in 1999, they started introducing homosexuality into the schools. And there you were down there mowing your grass and going to church on Saturday and Wednesday and Tuesday and going into your prayer closet and praying and praying and praying. And then lo and behold, the Lord opens a book and he shows you all of the children who were lured into homosexuality. Gives you a picture of the crying mothers and grandmothers and brothers and sisters and cousins who are impacted by the fact that their child, their friend, their cousin was lured into that while you sat in your prayer closet and didn't do a damn thing about. I have nightmares of that. Me to know to do good, not do it. It's sin. Sorry to go on that rant, but you ain't going to change my mind about it, folks. You ain't going to change my mind about it. I'm not going to change my mind. For us to know to do good, not to do it, it's sin. I sin more by that than probably anything else I do. Not doing what I know I should do. Come on in, Rochelle. Let's give Rochelle, Craig, Joseph, and then I'm going to bring Clay in real quickly. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Gosh, you hit on a lot of stuff. I kind of forget what I was going to say. Okay, in the beginning when you were talking about bringing the frustration of trying to bring people to Jesus and it seeming unsuccessful. I remembered the story where four people were carrying a sick man who was laying on his mattress to Jesus. And they had to do all kinds of stuff just to get that person to the foot of Jesus. And I think that in a sense, those are our actions to bring someone else to the foot of Jesus. And then we have to leave them there and trust that Jesus can do what needs to be done. And we had a discussion the other day, it was after the show, and we were talking about heaven. And it brought to mind a man I heard of who had an experience where he died for like 2 or 3 minutes, but he didn't go to heaven, he went to hell. And he had an experience there. And the way he relays his experience is that there were levels here. And some people, the first level, those people who were there, they didn't even know they were in hell. He explained an old woman in her rocking chair who was sitting there rocking and knitting. And she was looking out her window at these kids playing. And he said, I could feel the hate in her heart. You know, she hated children. She hated God's creation. But she didn't even know she was in hell. And as the lower he got, of course, the worse it got, and the more they knew they were in hell. So, and also, I think there's levels to heaven. So I don't think maybe people believe and they don't show their belief. It doesn't mean that they're going to burn in hell. I don't think that I don't think he judges like that. Just like the crime, the punishment's going to fit the crime. But we just got to do everything we can to get him to the feet of Jesus and then leave him.
And well, and I'm with you, but I'm not going to go there because I'm with you. But see, that's
and that can be prayer. That can be prayer.
It could be a lot of things, right? But also, I could help them get to the feet of Jesus by trying to get the devil off of them. And where's the devil on them? Why, the devil's on them in the public school that you and I are paying for them to go there and hear that bilge. And we know it, and we don't do a thing about it. See, that's what I'm saying. See, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know the last time I sat down and wondered about heaven. I don't know the last time. Because wherever it is, I'm going. And whatever it's like, it's probably going to be pretty good. But I ain't going to sit here and think about heaven, because I'll be so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. And I want to be good here on the earth, right? Heaven will take care of itself. Come on in, Craig, then Joe, then Glenn. Go ahead.
Coach, I think it might be summed up in a little bit like this. Is the battle that's raging about man, or is the battle that is raging for man?
There you go, bud.
Okay. Yep. So the question, let's think this further. Is it about the battle in transgender in the school, or is it about the battle about transgender for the kids?
Yes, sir.
In school. And that's what right. You're seeing in the second heaven is actually what's going on. They are laughing and
laughing.
And when you think about the statement here, when Jesus said, did God create man for the Sabbath, or did he create the Sabbath for man?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the battle is going on in the second heaven for man.
Yeah.
And we get tied into the thought, oh, it's all about us. No, 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 no. Yes, we're part of it, but it's really what's going on in the second
heaven. Craig, the deception is so great that there won't be one in 1,000 people that will say anything about a transgender being head of the health and human services. We are so brainwashed that we won't even stand up and say, who in their right mind would ever take advice from a guy who thinks he's a girl, or a girl who thinks he's a guy? Who would ever take advice? But we don't. We take advice. They put them into high office because of tolerance and diversity. See, we just lie after lie after lie. Joe Allen, come on. Then Glenn. And then Clay, I'm coming to you. Go ahead, Joe Allen.
Coach, I'm going to be politically incorrect.
Good.
There was a time I worked for three acronyms, the DOD, DOJ. We had requirements. There wasn't gays. If there were gays, there were closet gays. There were no homosexuals out there dressing in drag in our agencies. So why is our president allowing this happen? There's a requirement, even medically, as our president right now is can't remember if he put a pencil in his pocket or not. Our government is fallen.
Truth has fallen, Joseph. Truth has fallen in the street. Our courts have fallen, and we just don't realize it yet, right?
I wish I was Rand Paul yesterday. I would have gave that trainee a earful.
He was way too nice to her. Way too nice. By the way, Chad S. has just texted me. I thought so. There is a Texas Salt and Light Brigade event this weekend. There is one. Folks, if you're down there and you don't know that, I don't know why it's not on our calendar. My fault, Chad. My fault. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, just, you know, Christ taught the parable of the sower of the seed. And we know that, hey, it has to be the Holy Spirit in a person's life, because only about a quarter of the percent of the people that hear the gospel are going to respond to it. The other thing, I agree with you, Coach. Sometimes people are so lulled to sleep that, you know, it's not about sharing the four spiritual laws. That ain't it.
No, nope.
It's about sometimes waking them up so you can get their attention to change their paradigm before they can even hear the gospel.
Glenn, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? Why would we teach our kids in schools that homosexuality is okay? Just raise your hand if you think homosexuality is okay. Well, why have we bought into this?
These are students that this is what they're hearing in school. So then they go to college. And it's a continuation from the professors that are listening to.
Right.
And so they have a mindset. I can't even, my family, okay, they, you know, I keep telling them, don't take the vaccine. And what do they do? They look at the people that have died and they say, I think we need to take the vaccine.
They see it backwards. Huh?
Exactly.
Well, so the vaccine is the gospel, right, folks? Huh? Some will take it, some won't take it, I guess. I got that vaccine.
Already. Amen, coach. Amen.
Jeff, real quick. Jeff, last one. Go ahead.
Coach, sometime if you can pull that little 2-minute video up of Rand Paul, a couple things on it. You know, some people are saying, oh, Rand Paul really did a good job on that. They brought it to the forefront. They bring it up. They laugh it off. Rand Paul actually turned his head and had a little laugh at it. I mean, we should have rebuked that demonic spirit right there, but they don't. You know what I mean? And that idiot.
Well, Jeff, not only that, had I been in Rand Paul's chair, I would have rebuked anybody voting for that freak.
Yeah,
that's what I would have done, right?
People need to see that video.
I saw the video. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. So listen, I got Clay. I asked Clay to come in this morning. He'd been tapping on my shoulder here because he wants to share the transformation that happened in his life on actually February 28th, 2020. It happened to Clay. And he's been communicating with me about it. I don't know. Do I have that February 28th, 2020? Clay, I want you to talk about it a little bit. And then you talk, then we'll show a little bit of the video. Go ahead, man. He's on his way to work. Hey, at least somebody in this queue has to work.
Hey, can y'all hear me and see me all right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I'll try to give a quick build up to this best I can. My whole life, I've always had this, you know, everybody probably feels it. There's some kind of empty spot inside of you, and it needs to be filled with something. So the first time I felt the Holy Spirit enter me was when I was probably about 13, 14 years old, and my uncle was preaching in a little Mississippi church. And, man, the message that he gave, just you could feel it. It came inside of me. But, you know, you're still a young Christian. And, boy, let me tell you got a long way to go from there. So, you know, you're going through those teenage years. So I was in sports. And I just want to give you all a build up to this because this is going, you know, hopefully this will change some of y'all's lives. So I was in sports, and I was a gymnast, a trampolinist, and you think, man, if I could travel the country and win some medals and all that kind of stuff, man, you'll be happy. You'll be happy and fulfilled. Well, that didn't make me happy. I still had some depression and problems, so I ended up getting injured, had to give that up. So I played all these other sports. So I thought, well, if I could be the quarterback on the football team, man, that'd make me happy. That'll fill that spot, I think. So I finally made it to quarterback position. And then we had some racial issues at the school. So a guy caught me off guard and crushed my face with a football helmet after practice one day. So that ended my quarterback career. And it didn't matter because that didn't make me happy either. So then you get on up in life and you think, well, if I could live right here or marry this person, that'll make me happy. I marry this person and live in this house, you know. It that don't fill the spot. So take you up a little bit on up into being my adult. In my adult life, I was working for a chemical plant for 9 years, and I wouldn't join the union because I found out my funds would fund abortions and stuff like that. So I suffered through that for about 9 years, working somewhere I hated, where everybody hated me pretty much for not joining the union and being persecuted. So then I had to, that place folded up and went to Indonesia. When I was in my mid-30s, had to start all over again. So I went to a paper mill, took about a $6 an hour pay cut, worked in a paper mill, working shift work. It's 105 degrees in there for about 9 months of the year, worked 12-hour shifts. And I was felt like I was in the dungeon, locked away in the dungeon, you know. And I did that for 2 years. And I was on my way to work one morning, start that shift, and tears were starting to come out of my eyes. And I started praying, and I said, God, if you can get me out of this dungeon, I sure would appreciate it. So the next morning, I'd been applying for some jobs. The next morning, somebody called me and offered me a job in Tennessee. So I come up to Tennessee, and I thought, man, I'll be happy once I get to Tennessee. So I come up to Tennessee, and I was looking for a place to live, and I was riding down the road, and I saw this beautiful mountain range, magnificent. And I said to my wife, I said, if a man could live right there, he'd be happy. If a man could live right there, somewhere right here where you could see this view every day, you'd be happy. And the Lord, let me tell you how the Lord works. About 6 months later, a house come up for sale, and I didn't even know where it was for sure. And I drove out there to it, and you could see it from the spot that I sat on the road. You could see the house from where I said that. And we bought that house and 17 acres of property. And the next 7 years was some of the worst years of my life. I lived in that house where I said a man could be happy. And I was flipping that house trying to fix it, and the economy shut down. I think that was 2008, the economy shut down, and I worked on that house for 7 years in my spare time, and I worked all day from daylight to dark, and then this was at work on my job. Then at night and on the weekends, I worked on that house for 7 years and ended up falling off the roof of that house, three stories up. Anyway, I'm trying to make this short as I can. So I ended up changing companies, working a different job, selling that house, got in a different house. And I had a dream probably about a year and a half ago where I was standing in a room and there was a lot of television screens in front of me. And somebody was with me. And there was different things going on in my life and in different people's life on these screens. And I heard somebody ask, where should we put him next? And then they said, try him in that one. And then it felt like my whole body, I don't know, just like some energy came through my body, and it was like going through a transport or something, is what you feel like. So the dream to me was like I was being put into my next trial, my next period. So this is where it brings it up to pretty much here we are now. So I was working a job. I'd worked every day of my life, never called in sick, probably hadn't called in sick two or three times in my whole life. Well, I got laid off, and I had some time to be at the house for a couple of months. And I could have spent that time studying the Bible, doing good things for God, spending time with my kids, all this different stuff. But instead, I decided I would try to learn the stock market and protect my future. So I woke up every day, and here's what I was doing. I was watching Coach Dave, and then I was working on stocks once the stock market opened, and I spent a couple of hours, two or three hours on stocks every day while I was laid off. So I was listening to Coach Dave, working on stocks, and I ended up investing some money in stocks. And let me tell you what, I don't recommend it, because I lost a pile of money in stocks. And so I was laid off, lost a bunch of money, felt like a failure because I was letting my family down, and I wasted this time that I could have spent doing stuff. And then this program, February 28th, 2020, came on, and that's where you probably ought to show that video, Coach.
You told me to start at the 18-minute mark, Clay?
No, I think it's the first 17 or 18 minutes of that broadcast once you come in and say your intro.
All right, we'll get it up here and go. Put it on time and a half. We're not going to watch 18 minutes of it. We'll get the feel for it, okay, Clay?
All right.
Put it on time and a half. Let's see what we're talking
where
about.
Where are you going? Hey, Coach, that's a funny thing to ask. Well, it might be a funny thing to ask, but I think it's really, really important. Where are you going? What's your life about? What are you doing with your life? I was realizing this morning, as I got up early, second day in a row, 4 o'clock, the Lord had me up, man. Stuff coming to me. I'm 67 years old, and at times I feel like I'm 15. The energy and the vision that I have inside of my heart for what it is the Lord would want me to do and have me to do, and the most difficult thing about a vision, by the way, have you ever written it down? Jared, quickly go to Habakkuk. You say, right, what? Go to Habakkuk.
Slow it down a little bit. I talk fast. That guy talks fast.
Where are you going? How are you going to know? If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you are there? Where are you going? A little back and forth with my wife this morning over some visions and things that I'm a visionary. I've always been a visionary. And I'm not always good at executing the vision. You understand with what I'm with? But I see it. I say, boys, here's what we got to get. This is where we got to get. I'm wondering this morning, how many of you, talking to you right now, where are you going? And how many of you are willing to get out of your comfort zone to get there? See, that's why many of us, most of us, dare I say it, most of us never really do anything great with our lives because we live our lives too close to safety. Close to safety. I had a guy say to me one time, Coach, easy, grimy. Coach, you're always out there on the limb. You always get out there on the limb. Somebody's going to cut it off. And I said, yeah, buddy, I go out on the limb. You know why? Because that's where all the fruit is. Where are you going? Where are you going? You know where you're going? But better yet, let me get over here on this thing. You know where the Lord would have you to go? You have any idea where he would want you to go? Jared, I'm trying to find you here, Jared. Did you get to the Habakkuk? Yeah, Habakkuk 2, Jared. Habakkuk 2. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that. Second chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Listen to me. I had a conversation with Steve Deck this morning. And just something the Holy Spirit just came up inside me. I'm going to share it with you today. Listen, where are you going? And is your vision so big that if God doesn't show up, you're going to be a failure? Where are you going? And I get up every morning. I'm not sucking on my thumb. Why me? I have stepped in my life. I have stepped into areas now in my life where I am uncomfortable. Why am I uncomfortable? Because I have stepped out of my comfort zone in areas that I don't feel equipped to do. But the Lord said, go do this. Go do this. The Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait. Oh, I hate that word, don't you? Don't you hate that word? Life would be so much easier if you didn't have to wait. I'm speaking to some of you out there this morning because I believe that God has something big he wants you to do, but you won't step out of the boat. You're scared to step out of the boat. And then once you step out of the boat, you're going to be like Peter. You're going to start sinking. Because you're going to start looking at your circumstances around you and say, ooh, whoa, I'm not used to this. Where are you, Lord? Where are you, Lord? And the Lord's going to say to you, wait. Those who wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord. That's Isaiah 58, maybe. I'll get you there in a second, Jared. Habakkuk. I'm talking to me this morning, all right? Talking to me and some of the things I know that the Lord is doing on in my heart. Some of the things, listen to me. Things that I know that the Lord wants to do through me. Hey, what's the Lord want to do through you? Not for you. No. What does the Lord want to do through you? I'm going to tell you something. When you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, when you do that, you're going to get uncomfortable. Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I'm going to watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved or directed. So Habakkuk, he's in the midst of a crisis. He doesn't know what to do. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb up this tower and I'm going to fix myself in, and I'm going to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's powerful. This verse has changed my life more than once. And the Lord answered me. Isn't that something? And that's something. Habakkuk goes, he stands up and says, okay, Lord, let's do some business here. Let's do some business. And the Lord answered to him. I don't know why I'm emotional. This is deep. The Lord said this. Write it down, baby. Write it down. Make it plain. that he may run. That reads it. Woo! Ain't always for us. I'm writing it down. But you know what? This vision I got in my heart, some of you guys are going to have to run with it. That's what it says. That's what it says. And the Lord answered me, and I'm 67 years old. 70 is an old man, I thought. And the Lord answered me and said, write it down so Randy can read it, and Roger can read it and run with it, and Paul can read it and run with it. You write it down, coach, so John Brockoff can run with it, and Joe Allen can run with it, and Kevin Van Story can run with it. You write it down. You make it plain, for the vision is, yep, we're on appointed time.
Amen, coach.
Woo!
Amen.
You know what an appointment is? Do you know what an appointment is? Was it Esther? Was it Esther that the Lord spoke to Esther and said, Esther, is it Esther that you have been called into the kingdom for such a time as this? Now listen, listen. We don't know how long Esther had been in the kingdom. We don't have any idea really how long had she been there. And the Lord finally says to her, all that time that you've been in here, Esther, all that laboring, all that prayer, all that frustration, all that stuff that you've been through, boom, this is it. This is why right now. Right now is why. And he said to Esther, thanks, Jared. Whoa, I'm feeling this deeply. I'm not, I got tears in my eyes, not out of sadness. I'm, whoo, this is a Holy Spirit download. Because if you shut your mouth now, is that what it says? My eyes burning, huh? Really get something in my eye. Because I'm going to tell you, if you hold your peace now, wow. For if thou altogether holdest thou peace at this time, then I'm going to find somebody else will arise to the Jews from someplace else, but I'm going to get it done. Lord said, I'm going to get it done. Whether you step to the plate or not, I'm going to get it done. But you and your father's house shall be destroyed. The word of God, the work of the Lord will go forth either through you or without you. You understand that? And who knoweth, he said unto her, whether or not this is your time, whether or not you've been called into the kingdom for such as time as this. What did Esther say? Hey, if I perish, I perish. Right? If I perish, where are you going? Where are you going? Where's that vision that you have inside of you that is so big that if the Lord doesn't do it, it can't get done? Do you have that vision? Are you out on that limb? Have you walked out into the water that far? Are you in that deep? Because we're in desperate times, folks. We're in desperate, desperate, desperate times. And I was thinking today, I've been having a, trying to figure out, Lord, why, what's going on in my life? Why did I get up this morning? Lord, why did you wake me up at 4 o'clock this morning with visions so clear of what I'm going to do? Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. It is so far out of my skill set, Lord, I can't do it. Can't do it. But what do we just read? Somebody else gonna come help me do it. It says it right here. And the deliverance arises. If you don't do it right now, dude, if you don't stand up and do it right now, I'm going to find somebody else going to do it because we're going to do it. It's so much bigger than me.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Man, eureka moment here. Mic drop moment. God's going to find someone else. He's still going to use people. He's not going to intervene and do a super, super, super miracle. He's going to use people to accomplish his mission.
He always does. And if you don't stand, how do you know whether or not, see, those who wait upon the Lord. Oh, see, I want to run out ahead of him.
Yeah.
Lord, I see what happened. I see what, Lord, I'm already out on the front line. Lord, I'm already storming Normandy Beach. He said, will you do me a favor? Will you sit down and wait? Because some of the people who are part of the vision, they're not here yet. Oh, my Lord.
Hey, coach, those who wait upon the Lord, that word wait there is a Hebrew word that means bind together. It doesn't mean sit down and be lazy. It means bind together. When you bind together with the Lord, when he moves, you move. When he's sitting still, you sit still because you're bound to him.
It's like having a waiter. When you go to the go out to eat. You go to a waiter. He waits on you. We're supposed to wait on the Lord. We're supposed to serve the Lord where we are till he gives us his next order. That's what we're supposed to do. And when he gives us that next order, we got to move, baby. We got to move. For if you all together hold your peace at this time, if you won't wait on, if you won't serve the Lord at this time, dude, I'm done with you. And I'm going to find somebody else to do it. Does anybody read that any differently than me?
I got to just throw a hallelujah in here right now. Hallelujah.
To something high. Something so much bigger. I believe that's the vision that the Lord has laid in my lap, and it scares me.
Dave.
Yeah.
I got a question. This is a sincere question. See, sometimes in my own mind, I have dreams and visions in which I believe that I want to accomplish. And then sometimes I have other dreams and visions, but I don't necessarily know if which one is it that the Lord's telling me to. What am I? Where, how is the Lord telling me to? You know, yeah, yeah, I pray, I look for confirmation, but you can find confirmation if you want to find confirmation in anything that, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. But Chad, that's why Habakkuk, that's why it's so important. Write the vision down. Why? Because others are going to run with it. Go back there, Jared. Write the vision down. For the vision, and the Lord, oh, man.
Coach, it's no accident. All week we've been talking about the word of truth, the power of the word of truth, the frequency of it, everything about it. Now, Coach, this, I'll tell you, I'm just sitting here shaking. This is so powerful. This is changing us, Coach. This is the revelation that we're getting to go do what he's calling us to do.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Coach, this is powerful.
Amen. Amen. Randy, verse 3. For the vision, you got to write it down. Why? Because the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's the Lord's appointed time, not mine. It's his appointed time. It's not yours. He said, write it down, and you write it down because people are going to come by, and they're going to read it. And what are they going to do when they read it, Randy? They're going to run with it.
Amen.
They're
going to
say, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Let's go. It's not a one-man show. That's what I'm saying. It's not a one-man show. Why? Huh? For at the end, it shall speak. What? Vision is going to speak, man. It's going to speak, and it's not going to lie. And though it tarries, you wait for it because it's coming. It's coming. It ain't going to be long. It's coming. Man, wow. Oh, man. I got some download this morning. And I said, Lord.
Let's stop that right there. That's pretty powerful 17 minutes right there. Wow.
Yeah, Coach. And you see, when you were feeling that and you said you don't know why you're getting, let me tell you, remember you said you were jumper cables?
Yeah.
You're a jumper cable. Well, that Holy Spirit was coming right through you into me. And when you started saying, so Randy could go do this, so Mark Trump could go do this and all that kind of stuff, I felt so ashamed. I felt so ashamed at that moment that my name was not being mentioned. Because I wasn't involved. And I was sitting there going, man, what in the world have I been doing with my life? I've been trying to chase my tail in this rat race. And what am I actually doing? And so, you know, think about this. If you're a high school football player that just graduated and you want to be on the first string of Alabama Crimson Tide football team. You can't just walk on there and say, hey, I want to be on first string. Now, when you got through with that broadcast, I mean, man, I just wanted to drive up to Ohio and say, Coach, I'm your man. I want to be on first string. But I knew that nobody knew me in this group. And although I knew them from listening. So I drove up to, I started listening to Coach Dave every day. And then I started doing things. I started pulling over and helping people on the side of the road that was broke down. I started just doing whatever I could do to try to serve the Lord. And then when you had your tactical training in July, you remember I came up there and started participating.
Yep.
So if you look at this right now, from the time I heard that broadcast, tomorrow is February 28th. That's 1 year.
Wow.
And then when you had your tactical training, That was like in July. So it's only been 6-7 months since I first participated in person with this group. And since then, look at the year. Look at the year and what all we've done together.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We've been to Bill Barr's. We've been to D.C. 3 times. We've been to Barack Obama's and Joe Biden's and honking waves and huddles. And I can tell you that I've dealt with depression all my life. And the only time that spot that I have is filled and I don't have depression and stuff is when I am doing stuff for the Lord. Wow. And I don't ever want to stop again. And I thank you. I thank all my brothers
Amen,
and sisters.
Amen, Clay.
And
Amen, Clay.
So my message for y'all is, if you feel this empty hole, if you feel an empty spot, if you feel that there's something that's not right or you're missing something, if you start being a servant and you help people and you just do something Amen. That the Lord leads you to do for somebody, it'll fill that spot. It'll Amen. Fill that spot. And you won't care.
Amen, brother.
You won't care anything about how much money you got. You won't care how big a house or car or how fancy it is. All that will go away and it'll all become a burden. And the thing that you'll want to do is have more time to serve.
Clay, I got to throw this in, folks. When I was coaching at London High School here in Ohio back in 1990s, we got really, really good. Every time we won a championship, they put a picture of us up in the auditorium. A new team, they were everywhere, man. Championship pictures everywhere. And I used to take our football team in at the beginning of the season, and I would sit them down in front of those pictures, and I would show them all those pictures, and I would say to the seniors, hey, listen, I'd say, look at this picture up here. Because some of those guys who were seniors, their picture was there when they were freshmen. They were just little scrawny freshman guys down in the front row. And I would get them all in the room, and I would say to the seniors, I said, look, boys, seniors, your job is to get Clay's picture up on that wall. See, Clay was only a freshman. Clay couldn't do it himself, but those seniors could do it. And I said, seniors, your job, get Clay's picture up on that wall. That's how tradition is built. See, it's not about you. It's about helping Clay get to where it is he thinks the Lord wants him to do. We're not real good at that stuff, folks. We're not real good at it. I got an email. I got to share. Hang on. I know somebody went in here. Pull this email up. It says testimony. I got this one yesterday. These kind of things happen to me all the time. Okay. I got this. I took his name off. I'm 51 years old. I have 5 beautiful children. The oldest whom I adopted for my ex-wife is 30. I have a long story like many of us do. However, my conversion was real. When I asked Christ into my life, I meant it. I'm 6'3", 230 pounds. I played college ball at Florida Atlantic University, and I was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. My career was short due to injuries, but I want to tell you that because I'm strong. The day I dedicated my life to Jesus, I cried like a little girl. I didn't stop with a baptism and rebirth. I got into the Word. I've studied it back and forth for 20 years. I'm not really tech savvy. I don't do any social media. But through great men like Steve Quayle and Hodges and Adams, I've seen your posts over the years. And I'm a Buckeye born on the campus of Riverside across the street from the Horseshoe and Olentangy River. When I read your Woody Hayes quote, I cried. I'm a Christian warrior. I can't say that too many of my friends and family because they don't get it. Ironically, my adopted 30-year-old is a warrior too, more so than even my 4 other biological kids.
Praise
so our,
God.
Mark,
Amen.
So our
God,
job is
letter.
To get those freshmen's picture up on the Faith Hall of Fame.
Amen.
That's our job, baby.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've been helping from afar. I know everybody's doing their thing, and I'm facing the fact I'm working for another master, but I'm trying to find peace in it and speak truth in it, but we all got to do our part. I love that letter, Coach. Amazing.
Amen. Amen. Come on in real quickly. Or Silver, then Rochelle. Great, great testimony, Clay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Silver.
Good morning, Coach, and Amen. Everyone else. It's amazing that you bring up Esther on her feast day today. Okay.
That's not amazing, is it? That's not amazing.
It's the Lord.
Yeah.
I wanted to present just a part of the story, okay, and how it relates today. This is Esther 4, verse 16. Go, she's talking to, sending Mordecai an answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Mm.
Our nation is in that exact same state.
It is.
Christians are fixing to get destroyed in a they big are. Way.
They are, Joe.
We don't take the time, get the time to, yep. to fast for our nation, to do a 3-day fast somewhere in there, okay, we're going to lose it.
We are, man. We're going to be taken from us and given to another.
That's
Dale,
right.
come on, Dale, come on in.
Amen, Coach. You want to hear a miracle? This is a silly miracle, but it's a miracle because it is about positioning ourselves. When we go where God calls us, his anointing will show up right there.
Amen, buddy.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, man.
We go, it doesn't matter about the provisions. We go because the Lord commands us, and it's boom. So here we are. We go to Lowe's because I forgot to bring plastic. No mask. I don't wear masks. This is in Texas, right? So we're walking around. This guy, I guess he's called a Karen. He comes up and says, oh, thanks a lot for wearing a mask, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he flips me off. I said, I see you're showing me your IQ. Brother, here it is. This is, I'm telling you without an exaggeration. Here comes a Lowe's employee with a mask on. And this guy stops him. He says, look, you guys don't do anything about these guys not wearing masks over here. Are you ready for it? What do you think that Lowe's employee was going to do?
Tell us
to wear a mask, right?
Yeah.
No, he laughs at the guy and he keeps walking. That's a miracle. because I showed up where God called me to be, brother. God
Amen. Takes
a Lowe's employee and laughs at the guy with his mask on and keeps walking.
It's good, man. Bless you, Neil.
Price.
Come on. Joseph, come on in.
This is for Clay. This is what Coach Rope said one day, Clay. He said, iron sharp as iron. So a man sharpens the conditions of his friend.
Amen. That's scripture. As iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So one brother sharpens the countenance of his friend. Yes, sir. That's our job. Glenn, come on in. Then Luann.
Yeah, Clay, that man, is the best testimony. That Clay, that is the gospel right there. Your testimony this morning is the gospel.
Amen.
You are showing a changed life.
Amen.
It's a changed life. That's what the gospel is.
Amen.
I remember telling Clay, I think you're going to earn your varsity letter, bud. I think you're going to get your varsity letter. And he did.
Well, I thank y'all. And thank you, Joseph. Thank you all. But this ain't about me. I just want to tell you, we're just everything we can do for the Lord. The Lord's working through us. And I believe that's what we're here for. And that's the only way we're going to find happiness. This is the kingdom of God. It's when you start, to me, when you start feeling the power of God working through you to do good things.
Amen, Clay. Luann, come on in.
I'm here. I hit the wrong button, but anyway. Sorry I got here a little bit late. I know exactly what y'all
go, come about. On, come on. Go ahead. Let's go. Come on. I only got a couple minutes left, Luann. Let's go.
Okay. God showed me in the Bible that he walked from town to town. So many mornings or nights I'm woken up, do this. And so this is what we're going to do. My daughter is going to go with me, I guess, to some of these towns. But we're doing that. You're doing that. Yeah. Through the huddles. Each town has a huddle. So we go to the north, the south, east, and the west.
Amen.
I've already had that vision. That's why I'm here.
Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore, Luann. Let I got to hurry
absolutely.
Up here.
Absolutely.
Brett, come on in, Brett. Ohio Brett. Sorry, Luann. Come on, Brett.
Hey, Coach, you wrote it down, and your team is following.
Brother,
Clay,
I'm telling you.
Everybody on this team has a testimony. And, Clay, today was your day to share. God bless you, brother. Hey, I'm in tears thinking about your sacrifice. 105 degrees and a job that you hate in the dungeon, but you did it. Many Amen. Of us are in that dungeon right now. So I want to encourage, through Clay's testimony, all of us.
Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up like eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not grow faint, baby. Huh? We're in this thing for the long haul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And Clay found a vision, and he ain't perishing no more. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.